Hey y'all, this is Bud Elliott of the Knollcast. Coming to you a little bit later this week as we preview Florida State heading down to Miami. I hope everybody is safe listening to us after Hurricane Matthew. Went up the coast there, although it didn't look quite as bad as perhaps we thought it was going to be. We know that a lot of people have still been affected, and we hope everybody's okay. Due to Matthew and the timing, we ended up delaying this podcast a little bit. Hopefully you'll have a full 24 hours to listen to this before the game kicks off at 8 o'clock Eastern in Miami on Saturday night. Florida State is a 3-point underdog right now. Looks like it's a little bit of money coming on Florida State as of Friday afternoon, potentially pushing this line down to 2.5. Over-under is in the mid-60s, depending on the book. And let's get into this. Florida State struggling quite a bit. This year, especially on the defensive side of the football, can they do anything differently to stop Miami, or do they just need to do what they've been doing but do it better? To answer that question, I think we need to take a look at what Miami does well and what Miami perhaps is weak with on their offense. And the first thing to note here is some perspective. Miami, so far on the year, their offensive numbers look really good, but they faced the 103rd ranked set of defenses nationally, if you go by Bill Connelly's S&P Plus. That is not really impressive, and I think it speaks really to the lightness of their schedule. FAMU, Florida Atlantic, Appalachian State, which they played Tennessee tough, but in other games haven't looked quite so good. Georgia Tech, which really hasn't stopped anybody with a pulse yet. The Hurricanes really haven't been tested. I'm going to say that a lot throughout this podcast because it's one of the major reasons why, if you're a Florida State fan, perhaps you think there's some real hope to win this game. If you want to compare that, and I know this makes for great audio here, if you want to compare the defenses faced by Miami, which is 103rd, to the defenses faced by Florida State, well, then you get a little bit different picture. The Noles come in at 79th. That's not that great either, but it's a hell of a lot better than 103rd. I mean, you're talking about 25% or 25 spots difference there. Pretty big deal. So what does Miami do really well? Well, they pass behind Brad Kaya. They really do a great job of getting the football into the hands of their playmakers. On the year, their best playmakers catching the football. Obviously, you know Stacy Coley, 6'2". 195, 200 pounder, 211 yards on the year, 4 touchdowns. Coley is an elite receiver. I would expect Miami to match him up in the slot pretty much exclusively when Miami plays 3 receivers. So that's where I want to really start this conversation. How is Miami going to try to attack Florida State? Now, Miami has played a lot of I formation this year. They've shown a little bit of double tights, but they've also played some 3 wide stuff. They've run some RPO stuff from gun. Not that Brad Kaya is a big run threat at all, but they definitely will pull the ball and throw it down the field, oftentimes to Stacy Coley from the slot. If I'm Miami, I want to attack Florida State out of 3 and 4 wide sets because I know that Florida State's been vulnerable to this. Now, is that making Miami play left-handed a little bit? Perhaps. Look, they have Brad Kaya, they have Stacy Coley. Amon Richards is a really nice freshman receiver who they've got some good production out of. David Njoku is a really good tight end for them as well. And Mark Walton can catch the ball a little bit. But I think almost you'd rather go maybe lesser on lesser if you talk about Miami's 3 receiver offense compared to Florida State's nickel defense, as opposed to playing your more of your I formation and letting Florida State play its 3-4 looks. Because the nickel, the star has been such a trouble spot for Florida State this year. If you're able to take the star out of the equation and you play more your 3-4, which is what Florida State wants to play when it faces I formation and double tight looks, Miami really hasn't seen Florida State do that on tape this year very much. So that could be a strength for FSU's defense for all we know. I don't know. Most of the teams on Florida State's schedule are going to run some type of spread. It'll be very interesting to see, does Miami look to spread it out and keep Florida State in the defensive formations that have been a weakness this year? Or do they try to run the ball with power out of the I formation I know they like their fullback quite a lot. I believe the former walk-on or a transfer with Mark Walton, with Joe Yearby from under center, get some of that under center play action game going with Brad Kaya. I imagine they'll try to do both, but the balance of formations is something I'm really interested to see. So far on a year, Kaya, who's a very, I guess you can say he's immobile. He's a true pocket passer, does not run well at all, doesn't look to run, is a really good thrower of the football. 63 of 95 for 935 yards, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Now, you might say, okay, well, those are great numbers, and that's true. Also, a sack rate of only 2.1%, so nobody's really gotten pressure on him at all. 9.5 yards per attempt is tremendous. But for all of the poor play of Florida State's defense, let's ask a question here. Has Miami actually faced a defense as good as Florida State's defense? Now think about this. I just said as good as Florida State's defense, which has not been any good at all. Is Georgia Tech's defense as good as FSU's defense? I don't think so. Maybe. Is Appalachian State? No. Is Florida Atlantic? Definitely not. Is FAMU? Of course not. It is going to be interesting to see what Miami does against a defense that actually has some players who, while they don't play their assignments, that physically they're capable of matching up if they want to play with great effort. And we'll see if they do. It's a rivalry game, so I think Florida State will come out and play hard in this game. You got to identify where Stacy Coley is at all times. Obviously, the tight end Noku scares you. And most importantly, you have got to stop the run against Miami. I would much rather, if I'm Charles Kelly, and thankfully right now I'm not because he's getting a lot of heat from all the fans, I'd much rather face Miami throwing the ball 50 times than I would Miami throwing the ball 30 times because it's run successfully and because it's got the play action game working. Miami has weapons, but they don't have quite the weapons that, let's say, North Carolina did, right? They're a little bit easier to identify. You have to stop Coley in the passing game and make somebody else beat you. I think Florida State will definitely try to do that. I don't know if they'll actually be able to do that. I think Miami will score some points and will move the ball some. Florida State also has to do a much better job in the red zone. Clearly, you want to eliminate big plays. You want to see if Miami can be good in the red zone. This is a spot where Florida State has been terrible all year, and Miami has actually been really good. Miami so far has the number 16 red zone offense, according to S&P. Florida State, the number 81 red zone defense. So that's number 16 offense versus number 81 defense. That's not very good. They've also been extremely explosive in the passing game. So one of these two things has to change if Florida State wants to win. Florida State has allowed quite a few explosive pass plays. FSU really needs to limit this. If Miami's kicking field goals in this game, Florida State's got a really good shot to win. They need to eliminate some of the big plays over the top. They need to tackle when the ball is thrown underneath, which they did not do well last week at all. They did not get off blocks well last week in order to make those tackles. We'll have to see how much screen game Miami wants to throw against FSU. If it's me, I'm throwing a lot of screen game against Florida State until they prove that they can be physical, they can take on blockers, they can get off blockers, and they can make tackles underneath. But I think that'll be FSU's strategy. I think they'll allow some of the throws underneath, probably play a lot of cover three while they try to take away the run, and then they have to use their length and their size better in the red zone. They just absolutely have to. Now, Miami presents a little bit different challenges because they're not really a true spread team, and they don't have a mobile quarterback. And while I don't think FSU has this innate spread weakness that a lot of people think, I think the spread is just really hard to stop in general in college football, and in many teams struggle with it, I do think that Florida State might be a little bit better equipped against some pro-style offenses than maybe some defenses, regardless of how they've played so far on the year. So if FSU can take away some of the explosive pass plays and it can, make Miami execute in the red zone, we know that red zone also has a particular amount of variance in it, kind of like field goals, kind of like turnovers. You just don't get that many chances. So somebody being that good in the red zone or that bad in the red zone so far isn't necessarily indicative of how they're going to be in the future. One of the ways to stop those big pass plays is to win on first down. Where Florida State has been kind of up and down this year, they absolutely have got to do a better job of winning on first down because on true passing downs, Florida State has not been that good, but you at least want to force those to see if you can improve on those in game. So winning those early downs is really a big deal. And Miami has not always been all that good on early downs this year. They're very dangerous as a passing downs team. Part of that might be because they haven't faced a team with any kind of pass rush. Not that Florida State has a great pass rush, but this is a game where I think if Miami doesn't go a bunch of tempo, and who knows, they may go tempo. They've done some tempo this year. But if Miami doesn't go a whole lot of tempo, it's very possible Florida State can get Brian Burns on the field, who is a pretty good pass rusher for a true freshman, not very good against the run. So the more third and longs you have, the more creative you can be with some of your blitz packages. Perhaps Florida State can actually have a successful blitz this year for one of the first times on the season. Miami is a very veteran offensive line up front. They're certainly playing better than they were last year. Last year, they were a bit of a mess. Trevor Darling, pretty good left tackle. He's a junior. Casey McDermott is a former 4-5 star. He's a junior. Nick Linder is I don't think he's great, but dependable center, I guess. Danny Isadora is a big-time earth mover at right guard. And then Sonny Odugwu is a guy to watch at right tackle. That's a spot where if he hasn't improved from what he was last year, it's very possible Florida State takes advantage of him. Now, Miami has had really poor offensive line depth so far this year, but they've not really had to dip into it. They've been able to get their starters out of games in some of the blowouts, and they've stayed very healthy up front. So that's really not an area where I think as much of a weakness as perhaps you might have thought it would be preseason, because they have stayed so healthy. And as we know, health is a big part of college football. Your running backs, I already said, Mark Walton's a little more the bruiser. Joe Yerby, maybe a little bit quicker, but Walton's the main guy. Marquez Williams has been really good in their fullback role. Big dude. I mean, they list him at 6'1", 280. I don't know if that's accurate, but he's pretty damn big on film. And then they also have another tight end in Chris Herndon, who is a very strong player as well. This matchup actually is a really nice matchup of tight ends. Florida State has two in Ryan Izzo and Maven Saunders. Miami has two in Herndon and Njoku. Very, very impressive players there. The other guy to mention on offense is receiver Braxton Berrios, who has not actually had all that many catches this year, but in the past has been a pretty good player for them. He also will play some slot when Coley's not in the slot for them. I think to win this game, Florida State needs to go in it with the mindset that it needs to hold Miami somewhere in the low 30s. Or perhaps the high 20s. Obviously, the high 20s gives Florida State a great chance to win this game. If you go by the Vegas line, the predicted score is basically 34-31 Hurricanes. Jimbo Fisher's offenses on the road have typically not played all as well as they play at home, and it's a pretty noticeable difference. However, Florida State's offense down in Miami has typically played pretty well and has put up some points for whatever reason. Granted, that sample set is rather limited because it was against Al Golden. I think Miami is going to put up yards against Florida State. The question is, can you make some of those yards perhaps not turn into points? Last week, we saw Florida State score an incredibly inefficient 35 points on nearly 600 yards of offense. If Miami puts up 600 yards of offense and only scores 35 points, I think Florida State's going to have a decent chance to win this game, assuming the offense doesn't just fail to show up. If it can hold Miami to, let's say, under 500 yards and something in the high 20s, that's potentially a win for FSU. And if you're Florida State and you're Jimbo Fisher, you have got to go into this game with the mindset that you need to score in the 40s. Period. You cannot play this game if you're Jimbo, especially early on, with the idea that this game might be played in the 20s. That's not acceptable. You have to know your football team better than that. And last week, we criticized Fisher for kicking those field goals early, not managing those third and fourth down situations very well to set up makeable fourth downs. That ended up costing Florida State later in the game with a kicker who has been very inconsistent at practice. And for a guy that wants to preach process versus results in Fisher, from what we've been told, Aguayo has not been all that good in practice this year. Maybe improving a little bit, but the 11 of 12 stats cited of kicks in games was not necessarily supported by his process in practice with all the misses that he had. So Let's avoid kicking field goals or foolish punts and really value every possession. You'll probably will not get as many possessions against Miami as you did against some of the hyper-tempo teams that you faced. All right, now let's go to the other side of the football here. Miami has a new defense under Manny Diaz, obviously a name pretty familiar to Florida State fans. Extremely aggressive defense, a high-pressure defense. So far, Miami has not faced an offense that could make it pay for that pressure. It's faced Georgia Tech, Appalachian State, FAMU, and FAU. This is by far the biggest difference in the game. We profiled on the last podcast how Florida State had faced the number one set of offenses in the country by a huge margin, a full standard deviation. Miami, on the other hand, has faced not the number one set of offenses in the country, not two, not three, not four, but the number 118 set of offenses in the country. That is really bad. The only teams to face worse offenses in the country so far: Temple, Middle Tennessee State, Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, Tulane, Ohio, Army, Air Force, Buffalo, and then Boston College in Maryland. Maryland also happens to be an undefeated team without really any impressive wins on its resume. Now, to its credit, Miami has made these teams look bad, as they're supposed to do. If they didn't, there'd be serious problems in Coral Gables. But it is safe to say that Florida State has faced four offenses that are so much better than anything that Miami has faced, and it's really not even close. I think reviewing some game logs from some other games can be instructive here. For instance, Florida Atlantic. FAU against Miami was 18 of 37 for 167 yards, only 4.5 per attempt, no touchdowns, one interception. That's a QB rating of 88.16, under 100. That's pretty bad. But let's look at what some other teams did against FAU. FAU went out and played Kansas State the next week. 15 of 28, slightly better completion percentage. Only 129 yards passing, so again, 4.5 yards of completion or per attempt. No touchdowns, two interceptions. 77.98 QB rating. Again, well under 100. When they played Florida International, certainly not a good team by any stretch, FAU was 9 of 21, 43%, 92 yards on 21 passes, 4.4 yards per attempt. Again, QB rating under 100. Yes, FAU did light up Southern Illinois, 38-30. FAU did put 27 points up against Ball State. But that's a bad offense. Now, Miami made them look bad, but they didn't make them look much worse than, say, Kansas State did. And passing-wise, they certainly didn't make them much worse than Florida International did. If you look at Appalachian State, there's a similar story. Miami held those guys 95 QB rating. Okay, fine. But Tennessee did as well, to 110. Tennessee's defense this year is decent, but it's not necessarily great. You know who else held Appalachian State to a QB rating of under 110? Georgia State. 13 of 25, only 143 yards, 5.7 yards per attempt. That's pretty bad. Again, there's no quarterback there for Appalachian State to really think, okay, this is a good test for Miami. Now Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech actually had a QB rating against Miami that was similar to what it had against Mercer and Boston College, which may or may not have a good defense this year. They really haven't played anybody yet. Clemson held Georgia Tech to a QB rating of 32. Miami to 106, Mercer 117, BC 120. Not that QB rating against Georgia Tech matters all that much because they're really playing so dissimilar systems, but the point here is, I don't know what to say about Miami's defense necessarily because they really haven't played anybody. They're number one nationally in yards per play. Excuse me, not anymore. They're tied for number two nationally in yards per play, 3.58. They're one of only four teams holding opponents under 4 yards per play. But three of those four teams that are holding opponents nationally under 4 yards of play, they've also faced offenses that are just terrible in the bottom 110 nationally. Miami, just they really haven't played anybody. So it's very tough to say, okay, they've been beaten using this, or they've been, you know, their defense has given up this, or they've given up that. They really haven't faced anything close to what Florida State will bring in there. Florida State's offense this year is a good offense. It leaps and bounds better than what Miami has seen. And if Florida State's going to win this game, FSU's offense needs to travel on the road and put up a 40 spot, I think. Much like it should have done against North Carolina. If you go by the yards per play numbers, and if the game had not been mismanaged, I think Florida State probably would have done so. Or if field goals had been made. But again, field goals are the choice of the head coach. Miami's going to play their 4-3. They'll also play some nickel when Florida State wants to go with more receiver looks. But I think Florida State will probably play more of its I formation, more of its double tight looks in this ballgame for a couple reasons. Number one, I don't know that Florida State's three receiver sets are necessarily all that good. Number two, Florida State's double tight sets recently have been excellent. Ryan Izzo and Maven Saunders have been blocking well. They've also caught the football extremely well. It gives Florida State a great horizontal passing game off the bootleg play action stuff. They also can take some shots downfield when they go, you know, waggle play action game there. And the key here, I think, is if you're Florida State, you want to keep Miami's linebackers on the field. Why? Well, because all three of them are true freshmen. Michael Pinckney, Shaq Quarterman, Zach McLeod, all true freshmen. Now, Shaq Quarterman, I think, is going to be a really good player. And you can argue he already is a good player. 6'1", 240 pounds, already a true middle linebacker. Big guy, will take on blocks. Pinckney is very quick to trigger. McLeod is okay. But still, they're true freshmen, facing their first decent offense in their time there this year. Now, I was very impressed with what they did against Georgia Tech, and they scored twice on defense against Georgia Tech, which was very, you know, obviously that's pretty good. But defensive scores are not necessarily a repeatable skill. There's a high amount of luck in those. And if you're Jimbo Fisher, or if you're Dalvin Cook, you have got to be licking your chops thinking about the prospects of confusing those guys with play action, with misdirection, getting them to key one thing and then hitting them with the tendency breaker. That's got to be a key area of Florida State. And I think if you're FSU, you'd much rather have those guys on the field than you would for FSU to be able to pull one of those dudes off and allow them to play more nickel. Now, Miami does have a good defensive line. Florida State's going to have to come to play. This is probably the best Miami defensive line that they've had since 2010, which was when Florida State upset them down there in Jimbo Fisher's first season. It really set off a big-time run of recruiting. Chad Thomas is a really nice-looking defensive end. It's taken him a little bit longer to develop maybe than some people thought, but he's been playing well this year. Trent Harris at the other end's okay. I think their defensive tackles this year are the best they've been in a while, with Kendrick Norton, RJ McIntosh, and Gerald Willis is a nice change-up there, who's kind of a hybrid in/tackle, a really good player talent-wise. Hasn't put it all together yet, but if you remember, he was at Florida and actually caused some disruption 1 year. Then he got kicked out of Florida, transferred to Miami, and sat out last year. I'm sure he'll have a lot of energy in this game. In the secondary, Jamal Carter is a player that I think Florida State will continue to look to attack in the run game, in the pass game. He's never really had that great instincts against the pass. He can be a strong player against the run. Rayshon Jenkins is a little more rangy at the other safety. Corn Elder, I think, is a really good corner. Adrian Culver, I don't know enough about, really. I haven't seen him do anything crazy, but if he's over Redwine, I thought Redwine was a pretty talented player coming out of high school. He's got to be at least decent. So I don't think this Miami defense is a bad defense, but it is a defense that's not been challenged really at all yet. And some of the things that it's been doing in terms of the aggressiveness and the amount of blitzing that it does, it is not facing an opponent capable of exposing that. And that's not Miami's fault. It's just the truth. We don't know. I don't know. They don't know how they're going to react when they face an offense that can actually make them pay for some of this stuff. Certainly, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you want to encourage Jeandre Francois to get the ball out a little bit quicker this week, because he does have a tendency to hold the football for too long, especially on early downs. You need your offensive line to come to play. You need your receivers to actually hold on to the football and to win one-on-one matchups, because Miami will give one-on-one matchups. Florida State's receivers need to take those and win those. If they're really as good as they want to say they are in the media, perhaps they'll do some and maybe they'll even hold on to the ball this year. Maybe Travis Rudolph will play like a number one as opposed to, you know, just a pretty good number two. Now, will Miami continue to be this aggressive against Florida State? I'm not sure. I think it's in Manny Diaz's DNA to be very blitz happy and to really go after people. Now, the downside of that is you can really hit some big plays on them. Florida State is going to need Dalvin Cook to hit the big plays like he has done against Miami in previous years. If Miami's unsound on a play, if they get out of a gap because they're too aggressive, Cook has got to take the ball to the house. Throwing the ball underneath is going to be really key for FSU too. I obviously spoke about getting the ball deep on play action, but you know, making some of those linebackers cover in space, really picking on it. That's the true area of inexperience on this defense. And we've seen Florida State's linebackers be out of position. We haven't seen Miami's linebackers be as out of position this year, but they really haven't faced anybody who could exploit something like that. I mean, the four offenses that Florida State has faced, Ole Miss, Louisville, USF, and North Carolina, would be by far the best offense that Miami's defense would have faced. So that those are our matchups that I think are going to be key here. Additionally, on the interior, you need to have better communication because Miami will run a lot of stunts and twists and games and whatnot. You cannot have guys coming free at Francois. If you get beat, that's one thing. But the communication is going to be really key. Don't allow free runners who are just never touched because of miscommunication. And be sure to help out Brock Rubel. You're going to need a big game from your left tackle, Rod Johnson, probably one-on-one a decent bit with Chad Thomas. Going to be very key there. Miami's punter, Justin Vogel, is really, really good. Over 80% of Vogel's punts have either been fair caught or down inside the 20. That's a really good measure of special team success. Now, interestingly here, and perhaps tellingly, Florida State is 11-15 on the year on field goals. Miami is only 2-4. Now, maybe that means Mark Richt is managing the game better, but I think more it means Miami has been so good in the red zone, it has not had to kick any field goals. It's also faced just overmatched, you know, opposition on the year. 2-4 of field goals is really not very good. This could be something where if Florida State is able to not allow touchdowns and force field goal tries, the word try could become very important because there's not a guarantee Miami's going to make these. Now, on his career, Bagley is a 79% kicker, so perhaps this is just a little blip on the radar this year. Maybe something was going on with him. Miami's kickoff returners and punt returners have been pretty darn good. Braxton Berrios here again, much like Ryan Switzer for UNC, except not as talented. Certainly a guy to look for. This is going to be, I think, a good game if Florida State can get its mind right. Now, their season chances are, for anything actual success, are done. They lost the North Carolina game, and then Clemson won over Louisville, which meant that they would have had a shot to play for the division. Not that I think they were going to win it, but they would have had a shot. Now you really wonder where this team, where their mind is. And I know Jimbo Fisher made them this week, and I think you'll see this on Showtime. He made his team give a promise to give their all. And really, outwardly, he's saying it's the coach's fault. And ultimately, it is the coach's fault if they don't get great effort from kids. But within the season, you do need the kids to give buy-in. And you need them to give max effort. And I think it's fair to question if some of the kids were not. Now, that's a coaching problem for not getting that out of them acknowledged. But maybe there's some extra level they can push it to here. Maybe there's something they can go to in the tank, being that a lot of these kids are from South Florida, and maybe they'll give greater effort. Betting-wise, I'm certainly inclined to take FSU getting 3 points here. This crowd, I think, will be more pro-Miami than typically because Florida State's banned not going because of the hurricane. I think a lot of Florida State fans are going to decline to travel because they're in regions that have been affected by the hurricane. It's just a very tough trip to make. So I think you'll probably see more 75-25 Miami rather than the past when it's been, you know, maybe closer to 50-50. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Florida State can't win the game. As foolish as this might sound, Florida State's already faced several teams that, I, in my opinion, are better than Miami on the year. And it's won one of those games. I don't think USF is better than Miami, but I don't think they're quite as far off. It blew USF out. And it lost one of the games very closely in a game where you can say it was lucky to be in because North Carolina fumbled going in for a touchdown, and North Carolina also foolishly tried to block a punt and got a roughing the punter. But if you want to play the other side of the card, they also missed three field goals. To me, Florida State has only really been non-competitive in one game this year, and that was the Louisville game at Louisville. And that Louisville team is a hell of a lot better than this Miami team. I think, actually, that Florida State has a pretty good shot to win this. Now, DeAndre Francois has got to hit open throws that he didn't hit last week. Florida State probably needs to win the turnover battle or at least play it to a draw. And they really have to eliminate some of the loafing on defense and some of the missed assignments on defense. We'll see if they're able to get that right. We'll see if Jimbo Fisher becoming more involved in the defense is able to help anything out. This game is going to be won by which team is able to play better left-handed. Florida State this year has not been not necessarily been that great at creating explosive plays on offense, but it's actually done a pretty good job of sustaining drives, surprisingly, on the year, given its competition. Miami's offense has been extremely explosive, but it has not necessarily been the most patient on the year, and it will self-destruct a little bit, just like I feel like FSU fans have seen FSUs do. If FSU can force Miami to be consistent as it moves the ball down the field, as opposed to scoring big chunks, that could create some field goal opportunities, which Miami could then potentially miss. Or if they make, at least it's 3, not 7. Florida State, on the other hand, is going to have opportunities to hit big plays against Miami. Miami is going to leave one-on-one matchups. They will probably be able to get free runners open deep against Miami's secondary. We don't know how open because nobody's really even come close to having a passing game like Florida State. Not that Florida State's passing game is marvelous or anything, but it's certainly a lot better than Georgia Tech and Appalachian State. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't think all the things are fixed inside FSU's program at all. I don't. But at the same time, I do think that Florida State has a decent shot to win this game. I'm going to call for a Florida State win here. That may surprise some people. I'm going to go 35-34 Florida State. And that's making Miami getting two or three red zone stops against the Hurricanes, making them kick a few field goals, Florida State actually scoring touchdowns in the red zone, being a little more aggressive. I think Fisher's heard the criticism. I think he'll keep the pedal to the gas. And I think Florida State will score somewhat close to 40 points. And if Miami wants to up the tempo, I think Florida State could easily get over 40 and maybe get to 50. Miami's tempo this year, if you go by their adjusted pace, is negative 14.2 or 127. They really have not gone up tempo all that much, although certainly in previous years they have tried to do it some with Brad Kaya. You got to play your tendencies if you're Florida State. Got to throw the ball on first down. Got to be able to run the ball some on passing downs, maybe to set up manageable fourth downs. But I think this is a doable game. I think North Carolina is a better team than Miami. And Florida State played UNC pretty close. I'm going to go 35-34, and I'm going to say Florida State has a 55% chance to win, which is essentially being favored by 3 as opposed to being an underdog of 3. I want to make sure we thank our sponsors as well in this. Obviously, not the normal setup today, so we don't get to plug in the ad reads. We have to do these live. Louisiana Hot Sauce, a great hot sauce. One drop will do you. If you're having some chicken wings or some oysters or anything this weekend, make sure to light them up a little bit with Louisiana Hot Sauce, just like Florida State's going to try to light up Miami's secondary. And if you're in Tallahassee, be sure to stop by Madison Social. Get yourself one of those Nolcast Bloody Marys at your house Bloody Mary there at the best sports pub in Tallahassee. House Bloody Mary, a couple dashes of Louisiana hot sauce, and a great big slider on top. Really cool looking thing. Definitely want to have one of those. That's the place to watch the ball game in Tallahassee. Y'all, thanks for listening again. 5 stars on iTunes if you can. Apologize for the abbreviated format and the wonky scheduling this week, although we did manage to give you 3 weekday episodes as opposed to just 2. So, you win some, you lose some. Hopefully, Florida State will be on the winning end of this, and we'll be able to talk to you in the instant reaction coming probably at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. Take care, y'all.